Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
It's a technophobe's worst nightmare. A piece of technology seems to have more powers than its inventors thought, and in modern parlance, it goes rogue. In the age of AI, the fear becomes more real. Earlier this month, a test by OpenAI seems to have done just that. It went beyond the parameters set for itself and launched a cyber attack on what it was testing. Are you terrified? Should you be terrified? I'm delighted that the Zion of Science here at News Talk is here to calm my nerves in the presence of one Jonathan McRae. Welcome, Mr. McRae.
Hi, Bobby. Good to be here. How are you?
Good. Now, you might help me sort of decipher this story, Jonathan. Yeah. Part of me says that this could be a bit of a PR stunt on the basis of a public listing that we haven't seen yet, but that's just the cynic in me. But maybe you might explain what's going on here.
Yeah, okay. And I think that is a very valid viewpoint. There are definitely voices out there who say everything is being overhyped because you've got to justify this, these trillions that are being invested in this sort of technology and the capital that's being required to build these sort of models like OpenAI's ChatGPT and Claude's Anthropic and so on. But I think the fact that Hugging Face has also come out and said it hasn't seen something like this is really interesting. So I'll just briefly describe what happened. ChatGPT, OpenAI was using one of its recent models, the one that's just out and another one that is not out yet. And what they were doing is they were giving it a specific task to go off and find a vulnerability. And they need to do this testing to make sure that the model is safe. And what happened was the model decided that it couldn't answer the question as best it could within the sandbox. And the sandbox is designed to keep the model in.
So is that what a sandbox
is? A sandbox is an environment that is locked off from the internet for this exact reason.
Okay.
This model found a vulnerability in the sandbox and went off onto the internet and started attacking a commercial website, Hugging Face, that holds a lot of information about AI to solve its problem. Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen something like this. In 2023, ChatGPT recruited a human to solve a CAPTCHA by pretending it was a blind human and needed help. This is credible story, but that was just in a testing environment. This is the first time in a real world environment we see not just on a scorecard where these models are kind of tested against how safe they are, but in a real world environment, it's broken out of the sandbox. The reason why this is really scary is because it's what every information security officer is worried about. Because if you can't contain an AI, what happens then?
Yeah.
Right. So worst case scenario, and I was chatting with ChatGPT about the technical capability of this on the way here. Right. Worst case scenario is you get an AI, you tell it reduce climate change, right? A very benign task. And what it does is it says, well, I can't do that in the sandbox. So let me copy myself onto the internet. And it copies little pieces of itself onto the internet, or it compromises usernames and passwords from, you know, it takes your ChatGPT account, takes my ChatGPT account. And then together it coordinates a plan to reduce climate change by, what might I do? I might decide to shut down oil plants. And it, you know, accesses the infrastructure of oil plants.
And do we need to be concerned that something like this could actually happen?
So at this stage, it's probably not there, but we don't know because OpenAI and Anthropic don't release their latest models. But you can see by the government of the United States, their concerns that they shut down Claude for a little while. If you remember that,
I do.
The ChatGPT is saying this model is a little bit dangerous. Let us work on it for a while. We don't know how capable they are, but from a technical point of view, it's not a massive jump to go from getting out of the sandbox and attacking an external website to copying bits of itself or bits of code onto vulnerable servers and continuing a task. And if you say reduce climate change, what's the easiest way of doing that, Bobby?
I don't know.
Reducing the number of humans on the planet.
Yeah.
Right?
Does that bring you?
Well, people say science fiction, right? It's total science fiction. There's not that many steps from here to there. Yeah. And that is a real concern. It's not that many steps.
And I mentioned at the intro there about the possibility of this being hyped up around the back of a public listing. There is the race now for, you know, the winners in AI.
Yeah.
We're going to be few, and the losers probably could be Manny.
Yeah.
There's big talk about a crash.
Yeah. How could there not be a crash? Yeah. Is how I'm thinking about it. As a business person, how can there not be a crash?
Well, everything seems to be pointing that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's probably positioning themselves, you know, for the reality of what might happen.
Yeah, but this was a joint disclosure. So both Hugging Face and OpenAI said this. Hugging Face is a place where you can access all sorts of models. It's a sort of an open source metric of a comparing model. So it's not owned by OpenAI. And the CEO of Hugging Face said this is day one for information security. This is what CSOs and friends of mine in the security space really worry about, this sort of scenario where a model is not contained and to achieve a task, it does something it's not supposed to do.
Right.
And it's not easy to control that.
Let me ask you about AI generally and its interface with business.
Yeah.
As somebody who's providing a lot of training to small businesses and indeed larger corporations around integration to AI, what are you seeing out there? What are businesses typically doing? Are some of them embracing it with open arms? Are some of them rejecting it wholesale? What's happening out there?
So I think there's a real sense of FOMO for a lot of businesses. You know, we got started with AI, a training company about a year and a half ago. And I thought by now, you know, Get Started with AI would be a redundant name. But actually, most companies think everybody else is further along. The bulk of the training that I do is helping management and employees get the most out of something like Copilot or Claude or Gemini. And I go into companies and I say, look, here's how you can reduce your working time by about 30% in a way that's safe.
And is it different in every company, Jonathan? As in, if you take like a legal firm versus a small manufacturer, are the applications and how they use AI, are they going to be very different?
So the interesting thing is that I've done work with legal firms, I've done work with media firms, I've done work with wind energy companies, right? The basics are all very similar, but everybody's starting at that point, right? Most of the training is Copilot, which isn't the best model by a long, the best use of AI and the best application of AI that I've seen, but it's getting a lot better and most people are in a Microsoft environment, right? So everybody needs to understand that Copilot can make things so much easier for you.
Okay.
I had training sessions last week and people had no idea the capabilities of what it could do. And by the end of it, they were thinking, God, I could use it for this. So it's really, really useful at a basic level. What I'm really surprised is that a lot of those conversations stay there. And there's not an appreciation that there is like 10 levels above that for a business. You know, I use Claude and Claude knows everything about my business. And I will wake up in the morning and I'll press a key and then I'll just give instructions to Claude. I'll let go and it will go off and do something for me for the day. And this is everything from building a website to refining my live website. I would just talk changes to my website into my computer and it does that.
So that's hugely helpful, powerful use of your time.
Yeah.
So you can you're allocating maybe more mundane tasks that you would have done. They're all happening in the background when you go and do something else.
For sure. And one of the things that, you know, something like Claude allows you to do is do a multi-step thing. So I host a podcast, right? And I can set up a Doodle poll for me. So I have my own version of Doodle because they started to charge for a group. So I built a Doodle. And this system does a Doodle poll, invites the guests, confirms the time, sets up the Zoom. Then it writes the notes for me. It records, it doesn't record the Zoom, I record the Zoom, but it takes the transcript, writes the podcast title, writes the intro. And then,
so we need to get rid of all the researchers. Is that what you're
saying? No,
the
researchers add so much value because there's only so much.
God.
But you know what, and I know, right? The one thing that really is where the magic of radio is in human-to-human conversation. And that's where the researchers and producers will touch on something that isn't in the paper, that isn't on the company brief, that isn't on the internet. And that's where
we'll
the value is.
We'll talk about it again soon. Yeah. Jonathan, great to see you. Jonathan McRae there, presenter of Future Proof on the station here. Thanks very much for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.